The tulips are too excitable. It is winter here. Look how white everything is, how quiet, how snowed in. I am learning peacefulness, lying by myself quietly as the light lies on these white walls, this bed, these hands. I am nobody. I have nothing to do with explosions. I have given my name and my day clothes up to the nurses, and my history to the anaesthetist, and my body to surgeons.
This unit is different. They're preparing us to live in the community outside, you know. They give us cookery lessons and how to communicate properly with people and how to be self-sufficient, you know, more or less, when we go outside. So that when we go to live together in the houses outside, we'll be able to get on with each other and help one another.
From Sylvia Platt's claustrophobic description of hospital life to a view of hope, as one of the long-term psychiatric patients at St. Brendan's Hospital looks forward to a new life as part of the community. A new project has been established at St. Brendan's to re-socialise patients who have lived in psychiatric institutions for between 3 and 18 years. It's a long way from the days when St. Brendan's was first established for the insane poor in 1810. In that century, it existed in the same grounds as a large prison, where disease was often rife. For this and other reasons, a stigma has been attached to psychiatric patients, and this stigma can still be found in Ireland today. The new project, under Dr. Michael Curry, attempts to change that prejudice.
It's a 3-year project. The plan is to re-socialise or rehabilitate or re-educate 20 clients, or what we call clients now. They used to be long-stay psychiatric patients. To train 20 clients every 6 months to take their place in society. The term resocialization really means to help people to live amongst people again. Most of the clients that we are working with have spent many years inside in hospital, so they have been out of practice with the kind of skills that are necessary to live in society. And we're hoping to teach them those skills again. If you like, it's a program where we teach life management skills, to teach them how to cook, to teach them how to care for their clothing, to teach them in terms of body hygiene, and obviously to take care of their living space, and hopefully as well with vocational training, to be able to earn an income and have some life of independence away from a dependent situation, which it is, in fact, for somebody to live in a psychiatric hospital.
Would you find that a lot of the clients that you're dealing with are institutionalised by having been in hospital and being taken care of for so long?
Yeah, I think the original problems by which they came into hospital originally with have been compounded by the process of institutionalisation. I think institutionalisation can only be understood when you use the term institutionalism, which is really a state or a phenomenon that comes about when somebody lives day in, day out, year in, year out, under the same authority, eating, sleeping, playing with the same people in the one environment. I think the emphasis has to be in the one environment, because in normal society, or if you like, in outside community society, because an institution is a society in itself, but in outside society, people sharing that society have many different choices of environment in any given day, so there's a lot of stimulation. In fact, probably one of the problems in outer society today is that people probably are overstimulated, where our clients are the other pole, they're understimulated, and have a natural rhythm within the hospital which circulates around meal times, getting up, going to bed. And many of them would sit really after their breakfast right through until lunchtime if there wasn't some program of activity for them. So again, the original illness has been compounded by the process of institutionalism.
I got depressed. My mother died. And I got depressed then. And I came in there. I was in 22 ward over there.
And what was it like?
It was nice, it was very small though. There, mostly old people. Only a few young.
And how many people were there in the ward?
About 50. 40 or 50.
So how used to you spend your day when you were in there?
I used to help in the kitchen, washing up each evening and the dinner time and the daytime and the morning. And help with the dormitory. And, help around cleaning, washing up, sweeping, dusting. And then I used to get my money for them and I used to buy my own stuff in the canteen.
And were you happy there?
I was, yes.
And what are the differences between being over there and being here?
Well, I like here better. It's more open. The door is open all the time. In 23, the door was locked. And the door is open. You can go away like for messages. And what you want to buy in at the door and where you want to come. And who you want to visit.
What kind of things have you learnt in the classes?
Well, I've learned to cook, make beds, sweep up, set tables, wash up, wash clothes, and look after myself.
And do you feel more confident?
I do, yes.
Being able to mind yourself?
I feel grand.
So at the end of this project, you're going to be going out, living in a house in the community?
Yes, it's a hostel in Montpellier. I'm delighted. It'll be a change from here. It's a grand change, new house.
Are you a bit frightened at all?
No, not too frightened. Just to see how we get on in it. Because there might be men mixed with it. And we're frightened against, not frightened, but to see whether we get able to get on better than we did here.
What do you hope in the long term? Like, would you like to work again?
I hope I'd like to get a job. And keep myself in money and food. And I'll get me money, but I'd like to get a job as well. But I'll have more money. Food and clothes. And different things, you know. Cigarettes or fruit or something. No, not fruit, but lemonade or something.
What did you work at before your mother died?
I used to work in a factory, a chocolate factory, near the house.
And would you like to do that again?
I would, but the factory's closed. I'd like a job in a factory.
Mm. So the approach that you're using here has got to do with giving people social skills that they didn't learn before they came into the hospital.
Didn't learn, or because of many years spent in hospital have lost the skills that have been built up and that without being practiced have become redundant, probably is the right word. It's making sense for them of their illness. And I think this is what is so important, is that these people have gone through a process, they have suffered. Even to see that mental illness, as some people would like to see it, maybe perhaps people who would be followers of Lang are inclined to see mental illness as a romance, as a romantic way, almost like poetry, that people have found the world such a horrible place to live and that they have revolted politically against it and have withdrawn into inactivity. I think that says more about the 60s than about, in fact, the reality of where these people are. I think they suffer greatly. Many of them get very much lost in their inner worlds and feel very, very beaten, feel very, very confused when I think people talk about the romance of mental illness, the poetry, the surrealism, because it's not really talking about them, it's talking about the people who are actually saying it. And what we're saying is these people have been severely damaged. And what we're trying to do is really build them back up again to help them to re-establish a sense of control, a sense of dignity.
Paddy Russell, how long are you here in St. Brendan's?
On and off about 12 years.
And why did you come in here originally?
My nurse. Drink.
you were drinking heavily.
Mm.
And you came in to get cured of that.
Not cured, but I couldn't go anywhere else. There was nowhere else would really put up with me, like, you know.
So you were then in one of the wards here in the hospital those years.
Yeah.
Could you describe what they were like?
Terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense like the staff. Like there was some bad staff, but the ward itself was terrible. Terrible state of condition. Terrible conditions. You know, dark, bad furniture. Beds were very hard. Things like that.
And how many people would there be in the ward?
In that one, the first one I was in, it was about 50.
50 people?
Mm. And the first few days I was there, there was one person died. Chronic alcoholic.
So how used you spend the day?
Here. Therapy. There was only one building there, over there, that's still there now. And I just got through hell in there, you know. But mainly, like, any chance you could get a drink, you take it, you know.
Why was that, because you were lonely or?
No, because I was an alcoholic.
And do you think you're still an alcoholic?
Oh, definitely. Once an alcoholic, I was an alcoholic. I tried AA. I think I'm ready for AA now. Like, you know, I've been going to AA. Well, I was going to AA since 68, since we first met last year. The day before I went into the first mental hospital. And it's a very good program if you follow it, you know.
So this project you're on now?
It's very strict. It's water. It's water. After 4 o'clock at night, you can go anywhere. You can go anywhere.
Do you find that puts you under a lot of temptation as regards drink?
Well, what I've gone through in the past, since I've been in this unit, this rehabilitation unit now, in the grounds of Brendan's, I don't think I'll ever drink again. I don't think so. The therapy is strict. If you go against them, it's just too bad for you. It's too bad for you. You know?
So you're not worried about, at the end of the project,
if I stop drinking, all my problems will stop.
Mm.
If I stop drinking, there'll be no one after me.
Do you get depressed from when you're drinking?
I get the horrors, I get the VTs. I could get them any time in the pub. Any time. Well, it means, like, we've all got to grow up. I was a kid when I came in here, even though I was an alcoholic. Even though I am an alcoholic. And it's made me grow up. The therapy itself, the hardness of adulthood is terrible to face. But there was a few trainers said they thought I had it in me to grow up, you know, so that's why they kept on in me. They'd have given up long ago. If they had a thought, I wouldn't have made it.
And if you managed to stay off alcohol, drink,
I'd be all right.
And what would you hope to do then?
Walk.
The person who would be trying to get work for Paddy is his advocate. She sums up this change of approach from nursing and medication to friendship and counselling.
Your role as an advocate is quite different from your general role as a nurse within the unit, because first of all you have individual contact with your client. All our patients are known as clients. You have direct contact with them. So you are in actual fact building up a special relationship with our client. And in order to do this, you have to just spend a lot of time with each other. Barriers, you have to go beyond the usual patient-nurse barrier. And what's happened is the patient is dropping the sick role, we're working towards that, and I'm dropping the nurse that might represent authority, whatever, and I will be there as a friend.
How do you get to know the particular clients that you are advocate for?
And a big aspect of the relationship building would be based on her life at home and her what kind of a child, what kind of an upbringing she had. So the only way to find out that information is to go back into the home and have communication with parents, brothers, sisters, or anybody who will be a key person. Maybe it might be a local teacher, a person who's a local shopkeeper, whatever, friends. So you would build up from your client, you would develop this, a note and of the actual people who were the key people involved, and you go and interview them and collect as much information so as you can build up a picture of how the client was growing up and where were the crisis points, what factors influenced her, why she or he in that family were the ones who were disturbed, and why other members seem to escape this, or are there more involved, and just build up a picture of how she was in her environment.
A lot of people, perhaps listening to you now, might have a very frightened notion when they think of psychiatric patients. They might think that they're a bit dangerous, they might think that they wouldn't be able to respond if they had a psychiatric patient living next door to them. What would you say to people who had that view?
If I was in a situation where I was in an environment that was not very stable, I could become introverted, become bizarre, develop all these mannerisms towards escapism or whatever. So, you know, it can happen to anybody, really, you know. So I think we have to remember this all the time, that it's stability of environment is such a kind of an influencing factor. I can understand that there might be apprehension or whatever, because sometimes mannerisms are awkward or whatever, strained, but that's the area we're trying to work on. So we hope that we'll have people living in a community at a proficient kind of a level. So I would just hope that there would be a good backup with neighbours and whatever, but then we have a role in that within ourselves to go and meet these people and the neighbours involved and get them involved in community activities.
You volunteered to come over. All of the advocates working on this project have volunteered to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you do that?
I just felt I liked the concept of not branding people, getting away from the diagnosis and treating people as individuals. I liked that concept. And then on hearing more about it, it seems such a more positive step to teach people social skills and not treat them as a schizophrenic or as a manic depressive or whatever, to actually go into their core, find out why they're behaving the way they are, and set about an active program towards rehabilitation instead of maybe a dormant passive program that mightn't deal with the problems in an effective way. That's basically why I joined in the team. And I'm not sorry, I did, you know.
I came in with a nervous breakdown, and I'm perfectly well now at the moment. I'm just waiting to go outside, you know. I've been on tablets and injections and that, you know, but I'm completely well now and I can do without them now, you know. I'm just waiting I'm waiting for the corporation to give me a flat before I go out, you know. And my advocate is looking after the corporation end of it, you know. And there's a possibility I'll get a flat before I leave the hospital, you know.
And have you been taking less drugs over the last few months?
I have. They've been reduced every so often, you know, and I'm off them completely now. I feel very well, you know. Yeah.
What do you think caused your nervous breakdown at that time?
Well, I was hearing voices, and my head, I just wasn't myself at all, you know. I had even thought of doing away with myself at one stage, you know.
Were things going badly for you then?
They were, yes. And as soon as I came into hospital, things got better after about 3 months. You know, and it got steadily better then over the 3 years. And, well, I don't hear any voices now at all, you know. My sickness has gone completely from me now altogether, you know. And I'm feeling very well now. And there's a possibility of a job outside now from the NRB. They're doing their best for us to try and get us jobs before we go out, you know. To get us put into Anko or one of these industrial places, you know.
Do you feel that you've learnt a lot in here in the 3 years, and particularly in the last few months? Have you learnt skills?
Well, we're learning a few skills here in the project here. We didn't do much in the other wards, you know. I was in 3A when I came here first, and that was only a recovery unit, really, you know. And then I was sent on to Unit 9.
What was it like?
It was very quiet. We didn't do any... There was therapy there if you wanted to go to it, you know, but it's... The therapy is... It's very simple work, you know. There's nothing really challenging about it, you know.
It's boring.
A bit boring at times, that's all. But this unit is different. They're preparing us to live in the community outside, you know. And
how are they preparing you? In what way?
They give us cookery lessons and how to communicate properly with people and how to be self-sufficient, you know, more or less, when we go outside. So that when we go to live together in the houses outside, we'll be able to get on with each other and help one another. The main thing is to get us off the tablets and drugs and things, to be able to do without these, it'd be a good thing, you know. Because I think I've been so long in hospital, taking drugs for such a long time, period of time, there's a danger you might become dependent on them and that, you know. And if you can come off them steadily, well, you'd be far better off, you know.
To help with this and to increase the trainees' confidence, techniques like video are used to allow them to see themselves in different roles, doing job interviews, holding an ordinary conversation, or indeed ordering a meal in a restaurant.
And they love the video. They really do. They love the idea of being on the television, I suppose, because television is a big part of the hospital and it all stars on television. So it's, you know, and then people even that don't dress so well or kind of would be sort of stooped and that, you see them kind of sitting up and suddenly making themselves look nicer. Which is very good for them because they haven't had that opportunity before. They don't really perceive themselves as people, you know, as they don't have a sense of self. And so the video is very good at helping that. We start from the very basics of just about body language and how you use your body and how you use your eye contact. And then we'd work into specific things. And we'd also cover things like things that are very obvious in the hospital, like table manners and how you dress, and because those things are just in the hospital setting, they lose all those because it's no longer necessary for them to be nicely dressed, for example, or to present themselves well. So you really have to do a whole. What we did was we did a series of weeks, like a hygiene week and a clothes week, and we tried to make all the classes geared towards that. And again, I'd work out a series of kind of funny role plays. Person going into the shop and they're really scruffily dressed, and the assistants kind of snigger at them and try and get them out really fast, and then you'd say why. Because they're not so well dressed, and if they brush their hair, and you know, and then actually go in with the practical things. Well, how do you do it? You know, how often do you wash your clothes? Do you know how to use the laundrette? All those, you know, you bring the practical details in. But a lot of it is actually getting them to realise again that they need to do that.
And what do you think of this project that is
happening
at the moment?
I think it's fantastic. It makes you improve and it helps you out. And I think the projects are very good. There's something that I'm learning that I didn't know before. I'm learning things I never did before.
What kind of things are you
learning?
Things
like forms, how to fill in forms for getting letters for forms, for putting your name on it. You know, say you're going to a job or you're going to do a labour exchange, you ask for it. You want some money or something like that, and you fill in the forms. Things like that, you know.
And what else?
We learn reading, writing. I've been with Colm a lot. Colm has taught me very well, you know. He's taught me adding, he's taught me reading. He's taught me everything. And I've learned an awful lot now, since.
This is in the last 3 months?
Yeah.
And what about the other classes, like Tai Chi.
We learn Tai Chi. It's very good for breathing exercises. Very good. We do it like this. You know, we go like this. Very good for exercise, you know. I feel terrific now.
So, is it very different than, say, in one of the other wards?
Well, the other wards have been good to me too, you know. I've been learning a lot, you know. I've been on classes up there and everything, you know. And I've learned a good lot. But down here I've learned it more, you know. Like, I've learned all one class, but here I've learned an awful lot here. Great times with parties and everything. Beautiful parties. Great times. What a big party there the other night. It was great.
And what happened at the party?
Well, there was sandwiches, mayonnaise, ham, dinner, potato. Oh, lovely. Then we had cakes and we had tea along.
And was there dancing and singing?
Dancing and singing and all. Yeah, David does the dancing and singing. David plays guitar. And that's Curry dances. He has pushes on television programmes. That's a Curry.
Oh, this is the videos that you make?
The videos, yeah.
And then you play them back?
That's right, yeah.
And what do you look like when you're on the screen?
Well, you can see everything you're doing. I was on it, like that. I could see myself doing it on television.
Smoking away?
Smoking, you know, and then sitting down and then getting up and walking, whatever it's to do, you know. Very good.
And you do different situations on the video programmes. Do you do things like job interviews, video?
How you look when you go into shops. How you approach people. We learn that drama. How to approach people. How to look at people and talk to them. Smile at them. Go let them see you sad. Because there seems something wrong with you, worrying or something like that, you know. Casey taught us all that, you know. Which I think is very, very interesting. Because it is a thing that really comes up in the mark. Because when you're out, you've got to know these things when you're out, you see. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. You feel terrific.
It'll be different now when the project is over and you're out in a house.
That's right, yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well, I think the house is beautiful. It's a credit to Dr. Curry.
You've been in the house?
I've been in the house. I think it's a credit. Beautiful. A little garden in front and about four or five armchairs, fires, and a fire in the kitchen. You know, the coal fires, put briquettes or firelights or something on them, them ones. And there's a lovely kitchenette, and we do cooking and things, we like to cook.
You seem to me to be a very happy person. Do you
think
you're...
I am very happy, at the moment I am very happy.
One of the things you're doing here on the project is that you have a very open system. The patients can come and go fairly freely, having been previously in a locked ward situation. How have they coped with that change?
Well, we have in the unit, as I say, 20 clients, and they have had a total of 283 years between them. That's a mean of 14 years. Half of those, in fact, would have come from locked wards. Now, we have found, to our surprise, happily to our surprise, that by having a very open system within the unit, by making all our clients voluntary, by allowing them total freedom of the grounds and total freedom of the community, obviously there are limits, that permission is sought and that they agree to be back by a certain time. Or if they want to stay overnight with friends, that's fine, as long as we know where they are. That we found that by making them voluntary, by, in a sense, throwing away the key, that we can begin to work with them much more as human beings, and they with us as human beings. Why we call them clients is, it may sound a bit contrived, but when you call somebody a patient, I feel they become patients. I think a person comes what they are called. When you call somebody a doctor, they literally become a doctor. In other words, the humanity of the person becomes subsumed under their professional title. So we have found that our clients have just suddenly become more human, even without, you know, an enormous amount of therapy being done, that they're living in a very pleasant environment. The building has been refurbished. We have a lot of interesting programs for them during the day. We're very much treating them as humans. We have policy meetings in which they're involved, actively involved. They can come up with suggestions. They can make a lot of changes within the unit. And that is not contrived.
It's 3 months later. The training is over and the trainees have moved out of the hospital unit and into their new home. A comfortable semi-detached house with four bedrooms, a garden and a very modern kitchen. They are now fending for themselves, but seem happy with the change.
I was delighted to get over. We get on all right. Charlie does the cook and then we do the cleaning up, wash the floors and hoover the bedrooms and hoover downstairs. That's all.
Is it very different from being inside in a locked ward in a hospital?
Oh, it is. It's much different. It's much better being out here. It is.
In what way?
Because you can do what you like and say what you like. It's better being that in a crowd looking at you, but to be just two, it's grand. It's
just
better.
Just two people in,
yeah,
in the bedroom.
Yeah, in the bedroom. It's much better. You can do and talk what you like and all. And other people listening, sometimes you wouldn't know what to say. You know, them all listening.
You were in St. Brendan's Hospital before you came here.
I was, yeah.
How long were you there for?
About 15 or 16 years, yes.
And were you in one of the wards there?
I was in several wards there.
And what was that like?
Not too bad. I was sure of a bed every night. Well, the last ward I was in, it was about 46. About 46 people.
That's a lot.
Yes. And I'd say the last, when I was in number two, I'd say there was about 46 too there. Or maybe a little more. It was a fairly big ward. It was all knocked down. And then when I was in 23, I'd say there was about 30 there then, before it was the project. I'd say there was about 30 there then, about 30.
Did you find that very crowded to live in?
Not really, I adapted myself.
When you came into the hospital originally,
yes.
What was wrong with you? What was the problem?
Well, I stopped working. And I went a bit haywire with the money I was getting before I stopped working, and my father was still alive then and my mother was alive, and I was on the labour and on the assistance, and I got another job for a while, and then back on the labour again. And my father was still working until he was 70. He kept the house going. My mother got the Vincent de Paul to call. She was getting the old age pension and she's getting a few shillings off me brother and the Vincent de Paul. And we were living anyway, but I was keeping company with this girl and I was had intentions to get married. I pushed things a bit too quick and I broke it off. I didn't do any harm on her other than that. It played on my mind a bit. I was letting ridiculous things play on my mind and it sort of stalled me down a bit. Otherwise, if I got a job down that town again, I'd make it if I got a job down the town. Though I'm 49 now. I'd make it down that town again if I got a job. Back at the grocery or some job.
So do you pay your own rent and organise your money?
Yes, I paid it today. I paid it so far. I paid £12 for the food. Well, the budget in the field, we all give £12, I think. I give £12 and I give £6 rent. That's £18. That's £18 I give. I give it in today.
And that's out of your assistance?
Out of my National Health money, which arrived today, this evening.
And what kind of things do you eat here?
Well, I made stew last Saturday.
You're the chef, I believe.
So far. And I made stew last Saturday and I had pork chops on Sunday. And I make scrambled egg for the tea sometimes. And I fried rashers and sausages tonight. Grilled rashers and sausages tonight. And I've given them cheese another night and I've given them corned beef and salad another night. I get something different every night.
Do you find it hard to think up
well, sometimes
new
I
dishes?
Do forget. I do sometimes. I do sometimes. Though I don't repeat so much. I haven't repeated anything for... I've had something different for every week so far, every night. I've had something different. I've had something different.
So are you happy here?
Oh, yeah, so far I am. I've been coping with everything so far.
Paddy Russell, the last time I was talking to you was in the hospital in St. Brendan's. You were preparing then to come here to the house.
Yeah.
How have things gone for you since?
Well, I'm a bit high living out the hospital. And as I said before, I'm an alcoholic and... I can't seem to stop drinking. I seem to be stopping it in moderation, taking it in moderation now, but it might build up again, you know, to the horrors and things like that. I mean, I can't sleep at the moment, being on the grounds of the hospital, like, you know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know whether there's fear or just insomnia. I just can't sleep, you know.
And have you been drinking to try and make yourself
sick? I had a drink today. I had 3 pints of stout today. And a bottle coming back. And it seems to do the trick, like it stops the old fear. You know?
Fear?
Fear, yeah, fear. Fear. Fear of pressure, you know. I mean, this could be a good house now. The hostel and it's nice to say that, you know, you're out of the hospital, like, but at the same time I'm in fear of being out of the hospital, like. So it's really hard to distinguish fear from reality or things like that. I don't know.
I suppose it's a big change, really, from being under the supervision of doctors and nurses and everything very well controlled to be here on your own.
Yeah. Well, I've got this room on my own. I've got this room on my own. I've got my record player. And it's a great chance, this place now. It's a great chance. I mean, we'll have to phone, really. I mean, Marion, the girl is on tonight now. She won't bother as much, you know. They've got to look after us, like, you know, but
we can help her, like, by not, her not having to come in and say clean this or clean that or things like that, you know, keep the place clean, things like that. I'm not enjoying it yet, you know, I haven't really got over it, being out of the hospital, like, you know. But I suppose it'll come to be reality again.
When you put long-term psychiatric patients, or any kind of psychiatric patient, into a group and you place them in society, there's always this myth in society that these people are in fact dangerous. In fact, what we would say is that our clients have much more to fear from society than society has to fear from them. They're very, very sensitive people, very, very quiet people. And a lot of negative work has been done by sort of television, showing people who have psychological problems in a very, very mad, very dangerous way, which in fact is not the case in reality. Certainly not the case within our hospital. We're dealing with very, very sensitive. In fact, I have never seen an act of violence all the years I've been in psychiatry within the hospital. But if I walk outside the building, I see lots of them.
Life is a little bit brighter for us now because we're happy out here, and the people as with us are nice, and we can cope better, you know.
And there's just two of you here in
there's
this bedroom.
There's just two women, just me and Colette in this bedroom, and there's three men in the other rooms, three other patients. And We have our evenings in here, and we go to the hospital during the day, and we go to the occupation therapy, and we do cards and things like that.
And then you come back and
cook our tea, and then we have supper and we go to bed. I love entertainment, you know. I love to go for a drink, and because I have a sister in Las Vegas, you know, and she's in show business, and I like a bit of entertainment myself. I like musicals and things like that on television and variety shows and that, you know. I like a good comedian too.
So what are your plans for the future?
My plans? Well, I have no plans for the future unless something crops up for me, such as I got a job or something, you know, something different from what I'm doing at the moment. I'd like a change.
Would you like to do a job?
I'd like to get a job somewhere, a light job for a start, because I'm not used to too heavy work on account of being in the hospital. But I'd like to get a job at something, maybe in a hairdressing saloon or something, because I'm good at modern hairdressing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at that. I can do modern hairdressing, or I can do beautician work. I can beautify the face. I'm very good at that. I can do my own hair professionally, and I can do anybody else's as well.
And that's what you were doing before you came into the hospital?
Well, when I was in England, when I was 28 and I was in England, I was doing hairdressing. But the hairdressing at that time wasn't like the hairdressing now. It was different. It was more old-fashioned. They didn't have the modern equipment they have now. That was about 21 years ago, when I was 28, just before I came into Brendan's from England.